today on Real Radio.
Jesus never said, "Thus saith the Lord." The most important biblical character in all of the Bible never said, "Thus saith the Lord." Why? Because he was the Lord. He said, "I say unto you," right? Isaiah said, "Thus saith the Lord." And Jesus says, "I say unto you." Wow.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called What Do You Know? Part 1, continues a series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. So glad you could join us today. You know, in these last few chapters, Isaiah goes on to describe a future time when Jesus Christ returns to establish his kingdom here on earth. But whether we're looking at the past or the present or things yet to come, we're reminded of God's amazing love and patience that he has towards us and towards the nation of Israel. In Isaiah chapter 60, we learned that God will always provide a way to restore us. We are never beyond God's reach to save us. The nation of Israel is our prime example of God's blessing and restoration. Israel always prospered when they followed God. Even when they turned their backs on him and were suffering, in the end, God in his mercy restored them. And he's going to do exactly the same for us when we come to him. So today on day 2 of Isaiah chapter 61, Pastor Jack tells us there are times in our past that have tried to ruin us in one way or another. But what we need to know is that God is almighty and the rock of our salvation. He is the giver of eternal life and the first and last of all things. And now continuing his lesson called What Do You Know? Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
So here we go. Look at this. Isaiah chapter 61. Look at verse 1. It says there, sound familiar? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. Verse 2, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Is there a period there, people, or a comma? Comma. Comma in Isaiah, period in Luke chapter 4. Why? That's the question tonight. Why? What do you know? In that statement, God's prophetic word and his purposes are truly awesome. When Isaiah records the prophecy given to him that makes up for us chapter 61, when Jesus picked it up in the synagogue that day, it had a comma. He's reading Isaiah. He stops at the comma. He hands the scroll back to the attendant. Luke puts a period there because Jesus stopped. In the original Hebrew Old Testament, it's not a period. Jesus made it a period by stopping. The difference between the comma and the period is thousands of years, and the difference between paradise and disaster. Why? Look at how the verse continues, verse 2. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. A reference to the judgment of God upon the earth. That comma held back the judgment of God. Isn't that amazing? Think of it. What would have happened if Jesus would have kept reading? Look, he's God in skin. He's the Word in skin. Think of it. He would have ushered in the age of judgment. At his pause, the gateway door opened up for salvation to the ends of the earth. Amen. All engineered by God, all known to God, not to us, not to them at the time. But he stops reading and the day of vengeance. That means, listen, the next time, this is key. Listen, if there's any eschatologists in the room, students of Bible prophecy, this is a critical point that I want you to hear. Many people, justifiably so, I get it. A lot of people argue these things about Bible prophecy. Oh, I believe this and I believe the other thing. And whatever, everybody has their belief. Just make sure your belief is the most biblically grounded belief possible. Forget about denominations. Forget about this person said this and this person said that. Let the Bible speak for itself. Here's what we know for sure. Is that Jesus stopped at a comma. If he would have kept reading, it would have been the end of the world as we know it. Which means this. Listen, class. Who is Jesus speaking to? What audience is it?
Jews.
Who was Isaiah speaking to? What kind of audience?
Jews.
After the comma and before the vengeance of our God, it has been 2,000 years as of tonight, right? Think of it. During the 2,000 years, the gospel has gone to the ends of the earth, and according to earlier chapters of the book of Isaiah, Gentiles have come to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We are them. Jesus said it this way. Other sheep I have that are not of this flock. That's you. That's us. Okay, it's very cool. Here's what's fun. When Jesus Christ rode into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, 32 AD, April 6th, 32 AD, and when he was rejected later in that week, crucified, buried, and rose again from the dead, from the day of Pentecost, for the last 2,000 years, it's been what we would say is the church age or the age of grace. God set Israel aside because of Israel's rejection of God. He's not done with them. He set them aside to bring you in, to reel you in, right? You here. He's not done with Israel. Those prophecies of Daniel chapter 9 were dealing with Israel. Then there's a pause. Listen, when he picks it up again, the day of vengeance, that's going to happen on the beginning front end of the tribulation period. It certainly incorporates the 7 years, and it's absolutely the last 45 days once Christ returns to earth in the second coming when he establishes his kingdom. See, what are you saying this for? Because it's very Jewish up front, it's very Jewish at the end, and in the middle, it's very Gentile. Designed by God. Just like Ruth, just like Boaz, just like Naomi, there's a thread. Rahab, Jew or Gentile?
Gentile.
In Jesus' earthly body, bloodline, through Mary's side, Rahab's blood was in him. That ought to encourage you. But she was a harlot. She was a hooker.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. What do you think of that? He associated himself with humanity, even the most outcast. Pretty wild. In him is salvation. Of all bloods, of all peoples, of all pigmentation, of all nations, kindred, tribes, tongues, it's in him. Remember that. Thank God Jesus paused. Wow. The day of vengeance of our God to comfort all who mourn. This is the promise to the Jews in his second coming. To console those who mourn in Zion, the Jews. This is again what he'll do when he comes to the land of Israel in the second coming. To give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. This is what all he's going to be doing to Israel when he comes back the second time. But before we go a little bit deeper into all of this, look with me at the front end of chapter 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. What does that mean? It means Isaiah preached that one day one would come who would be of God. Not someone who's of God like Billy Graham might have been of God or David Brainerd was of God, or Charles Finney was of God, or Martin Luther was of God. No, this is beyond all that. When the Bible here says that the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, this is a messianic term. This is about one that is of God. So you want to write that down in your margins. It's no small thing. Because the Lord has anointed me. What does this mean? It means that Isaiah preached that one would come who would be the Messiah of God. The anointed one is the term Messiah. That's why they got so upset at him when he said it. Nobody had to guess. That's why it says they all were upset. Then it says to preach good tidings to the poor. Isaiah 61 preached that someday someone would unveil the salvation of God to mankind. It would become crystal clear. It says, it goes on and announces, he has sent me. Special mission. Isaiah preached that one would come who would be on mission for God. This would be the messenger of God. Unique from all of the prophets. Because, you know, prophets speak about the one to come. I love this. Your Old Testament, God would say, thus saith the Lord. Or the prophets would say, thus saith the Lord. And the prophets would speak. Jesus never said, thus saith the Lord. The most important biblical character in all of the Bible never said, thus saith the Lord. Why? Because he was the Lord. He said, I say unto you. Right? Isaiah said, thus saith the Lord. And Jesus says, I say unto you. Wow. He sent me. Jesus said. He goes on, to heal the brokenhearted. Isaiah preached one would come who would restore mankind back to God. What an awesome concept. To recognize the fact that man is alienated from God and that one would come who would restore man back to God. To proclaim liberty to the captives, Isaiah preached that one would come who would promise true liberty. The opening of the prison to those who are bound. Isaiah preached that one would come who would transform human life. This word speaks of transformation, to be transformed. I love that. I don't know about you. No matter who you are, no matter what your lifestyle is, no matter what your pain has been, no matter what your upbringing has been, isn't this fantastic? It doesn't matter if you've had the worst upbringing in human history. God transforms human life. It's an amazing, miraculous thing that he does. And here's the deal. The only way that you can miss that is if you don't believe him. And look, you've got to believe that God will transform your life personally. Jesus Christ is personally your Lord and Savior. Well, I believe the Lord could heal you. Fine, but do you believe the Lord can heal you? Oh, I had a horrible upbringing, very dysfunctional family. I was molested, raped, beat up, sold, trafficked, whatever. Whatever your story is, A, if you just leave it with you, it will pull you down and destroy you. That's what life does. It's what this world does. B, if you give it to God, he'll make you a vessel of honor and a trophy and glorify his name in and through you. Oh, Pastor, I wish that were true. My life is so bad. If your life is truly so bad as you say, then give it to God and watch what happens. It'd be absolutely world class. It'd be awesome. My goodness, I just got done listening to Ravi Zacharias, a man who was born in India and depressed, sad. At the age, I think it was 14 or 15, something like that. He drank acid to kill himself. And, you know, he has an unusual voice, and it's from the results of the acid eating his vocal cords, his esophagus. Everything was scorched. He was supposed to die, left for dead. And he hears the gospel. He gets the gospel. Gives him a purpose for living. And now go on YouTube and just type in Ravi, R-A-V-I, Ravi Zacharias. Get a pot of coffee, sit down, and blow your mind. God has transformed that man, and he's one of the wisest, precious, most intelligent trophies in Christianity today. Remarkable. Don't tell me after service, okay, Pastor, you talk, but my life. No, I don't want to hear that. Because we all have that life. We've all come from ruin in some way, shape, or form. I don't want to talk about my old life. Pastor, can we interview you and talk about, you know, what God brought you out of? No, you can talk about what God's doing now. I don't even want to look back there. It's not even good to look back there. Oh, you want to go back? You want to go to your high school reunion? No. Never. Don't you want to meet? No. No. He transformed me. I have no identity to that world anymore. It's gone. Neither do you. That's gone. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Isn't that amazing? That's where Jesus ends. Hey, Israel. Hey, world. I'm here. I'm going to do all these things. Why? It's the acceptable year of the Lord. By the way, anytime you hear the gospel, if you're listening right now, if you're here right now, if you're watching right now, God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to go to the cross, to die for your sins, to die, be buried, be resurrected from the dead. He died for your sins on the cross, and he rose again from the dead for your justification, which means he's the one that ensures your entrance into heaven by him breaking the grave, okay? Here's the deal. That's the gospel, and every time you hear it, it's the acceptable year of the Lord. But you need to read the fine print. You're running out of time. It's going to be the acceptable year of the Lord, and then you're going to have the acceptable month of the Lord, and then it's going to be the acceptable week of the Lord, and then they might tell you, you know what, we're going to pull the plug, and it could be the acceptable hour. But when that acceptable moment's gone, it's gone for you forever. Now's the acceptable time, the Bible says. Today's the day of salvation. Hey, I need you to get your pens out, get your notes out. I'm not kidding. You're going to want to write these down about who we're talking about here in Isaiah chapter 61 and who the one was speaking in Luke chapter 4. Begin with this, if you would. The Bible says in Revelation 19, verse 10, I fell at his feet to worship him, John says. John gets a report from an angel. So John falls down on his face in front of the angel, or at least a representative, or it's not God. But he said to me, see that you do not do that, for I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. Why? Because, or for, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Don't miss this. Keep your eyes on the screen and write these notes down. I'll go as slow as I can. In John chapter 5, verse 37, beginning there, Jesus said, and the Father himself who sent me has testified of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time, Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees, the leaders of the Jewish people, nor seen his form. But you do not have his word abiding in you, because whom he sent, him you do not believe. No doubt Jesus pointed to his own chest. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me. That's prophecy. But you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. So when Jesus said what he said, and Isaiah had announced what he did, let's look who we're talking about here. What do you know? Genesis 17, verse 1. Church, follow along with me. I'm going to go quick. Genesis 17, 1 says that the Almighty is God. Okay? But wait, listen. It says, when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said to him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. You got that? But wait. Revelation chapter 1, verse 7 and 8 says, behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. Verse 8, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is, who was, who is to come. The what? The Almighty. Same one in Genesis. According to the Bible, from cover to cover, you cannot have two almighties. You can't have two. You can't have two alpha and omegas. You can't have two first and last or beginning and ends. You have to have one. This is one of the reasons why Christianity understands the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, three personalities in one Godhead. Impossible to explain. Silly little hints in nature, water, ice, vapor. We get that. Egg, yolk, shell, white. Okay, fine. God's not vapor, water, ice. He's not egg, yolk, shell. I understand. But we're talking about throughout Scripture, God is spoken to or as God the Holy Spirit, God the Son, and God the Father. But God is one. Okay, so watch this. You can only have one Almighty. That's who we're talking about in Isaiah. Well, mark this down. In Exodus 3:14, the Bible says that the I am is God. Exodus 3:14, for thus you shall say to the children of Israel, God is speaking, I am has sent me to you. That's what Moses' line was supposed to be. When he said, who do I tell them sent me? God told Moses, when you go back down there, you tell them I am sent you. It's the name of God, the self-contained, eternal, existing one, the I am. Ego eimi, that's him. Well, wait a minute. In John 8:58, Jesus said, most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Wow.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called, What Do You Know? Part 1. Thank you for joining us today. And now is the time to know that Jesus is your Savior. Would you come to Him today? What Do You Know? Part 1 is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah, a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before He was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Hey, Pastor Jack has a book of the month for March. It's called Living in the Power of the Holy Spirit by Charles Stanley. Now, a lot of you already know Charles Stanley from his television and radio broadcasts or maybe some of his books. But in Living in the Power of the Holy Spirit, Charles Stanley reminds us that the Holy Spirit is the promise of the Father for all who believe in His Son, Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit was sent to guide us and protect us from temptation. Stanley also removes much of the mystery surrounding the Holy Spirit and offers new hope to believers who may have some trouble understanding this member of the Holy Trinity. Again, Pastor Jack's Book of the Month for March is called Living in the Power of the Holy Spirit by Charles Stanley. It's available at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. You know, many of us have a lot of questions and opinions about the culture of our day, especially here in California. How can we give an answer for the reason of hope that's within us? And how can we give a biblical worldview of what's happening right now, when so many are becoming so combative? One way is to subscribe to Pastor Jack's YouTube channel and watch his Engage the Culture series. In this series, Pastor Jack gives an answer to some of the most controversial questions we as Christians are facing today. That includes, what does the Bible say about feminism, transgenderism, gun control, border control, and abortion? Many will reject the truth, but like the Apostle Paul, God will strengthen and encourage us through the power of the Holy Spirit and through fellowship with other believers. Together, the more we know, the more our influence will matter. So take a look at Pastor Jack's YouTube channel called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. There are so many videos to choose from to help you grow in the Lord. And when you subscribe, don't forget to tap that notification button for the latest videos as they become available. You can also access his YouTube channel from our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And if you need to get a hold of us, call us, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.